This episode is brought to you by our Hosting Handbook mini course. Whether you're already hosting guests on Airbnb or you're still trying to soak up as much knowledge as you can, this course is the ultimate cheat sheet.
It can transform your hosting from hobby to business. Get our coveted templates that include the welcome book, turnover handbook, and supply closet spreadsheet, and other great bonuses you don't want to miss.
Our hosting handbook is usually priced at $297, but for a very limited time, you can grab your seat for just $67. Head to www.thanksforvisiting.me/hosting handbook to get all the deets. Now, on to the show.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to another great week. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are Thanks for Visiting.
And we're going to start off this show like we do every week, and that is highlighting you, our listeners, who are using our hashtag on Instagram. It is STR, Share Sunday. If you use it on Instagram, we are prowling it daily, looking for new people to share both here on the podcast and on our Instagram account. Annette, who are we sharing today?
Today, we have at the New Hampshire Getaway. Again, that's at the New Hampshire Getaway. And I say this every time, but I really want to get away and go here.
And I get to bring my pup.
Yes.
He could come. There, it's encouraged.
Yeah. So let's talk about, this was the one thing that Sarah and I really noticed with Hillary, the host. She has her darling pups in her actual Instagram feed, but really encourages the pet-friendly portion of her property, but she does it with such a genuine heart of how much she loves her doggos and that she wants them to go on vacation too. But one thing that we noticed is she actually offers some amenities. Like, she's specifically put a shelf by the back door and a hook to hang the leash for visiting dogs. And like, I don't know if we've ever really seen that. We know, like, Sarah, I know you have some properties that have like dog bone, you know, they kind of have like a tin for dog bones and then like the water bowl and the
And the doggy bag. Yeah. But I really love how this is like her niche, right? Mm-hmm. She's a dog friendly short-term rental and she's really going to lean into that. I mean, she uses really clever marketing tools truly on her Instagram and in her listing that she creates her dogs like they are a co-host and like, right. She really just builds this feeling of community with fellow pet owners. And I just think that's brilliant.
And also with that, like, I just feel like I know her as a person a little bit more just from her, you know, putting that highlight on her pets. And so we've never done this before. I'm going to do STR share her pets. Hillary's pets are Brooklyn and Penny. So we're going to give them, that's our first puppy podcast love there. So kudos to that. And if you are pet friendly, put it out there, let people know. And then that is also a great way to get reoccurring visitors too. If they already know that their pet is going to have a great place to stay and their pet's comfortable there. So if you want to be featured, please make sure to use the hashtag #STRShareSunday and we will have you featured on the show. So today we are welcoming to the show Katie Raboy, And she is the owner and manager of the Cabin Collection, an exclusive collection of high-end cabins in Broken Bow, Oklahoma. And she began self-managing her own cabin, California Dreaming, in March of 2020 and has just recently grew her business to the Cabin Collection in September of 2020. And we cannot wait to hear her story about buying a pre-existing short-term rental, launching that, hosting it on her own, and then now creating a whole business around managing properties. So welcome to the show, Katie.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
You've had a whirlwind year, it sounds like. Yes. You picked an interesting year.
Right? I know.
To do all of these things. But let's just start at the beginning. I know that listeners are going to be very interested. We haven't had a guest on before. Sarah, we haven't had a guest on that's done this, I don't think. We've talked about selling your property as an Airbnb,
right.
Because Sarah actually has experience in doing that. But we haven't had anybody on that specifically purchased existing short-term rental. So can you tell us how you even got into the market for looking for a short-term rental?
Sure. Yeah. So just to kind of go along with the rest of the theme of 2020, it's kind of a crazy story. But my husband and I actually, we went on a long weekend getaway, just kind of last minute, to an Airbnb in Glen Rose, Texas. And we loved it so incredibly much that we were like, oh my gosh, how amazing would this be to be able to do this ourselves. Actually, that was me saying that. my husband, he is a little bit more, just conservative when it comes to plans and things like that and kind of planning out potential businesses. And so I was like, okay, this is, you know, a new project for me to prove the business plan to him and kind of win him over on this idea, if you will. And it did not take much because as soon as we went up to Broken Bow, which is kind of it's an area that's 3 hours away from where we live. So we live in Dallas, Texas, and it's 3 hours away. And we had some friends who had just recently purchased a property up there to use as a short-term rental. And we thought, oh my gosh, what a perfect area. It almost feels like a different part of the country when you get up there. It's very woodsy. It's beautiful. There are some mountains. Yes, in Oklahoma. It's a little surprising. So we absolutely just fell in love with it our first time up there, which was actually when we were going up to look at properties. So the first time we went there was to go look for properties that we could purchase. And as soon as we saw California Dreaming, we just fell in love and knew that, you know, all the numbers we've been running, the whole concept that we'd kind of been talking about would just be super successful with this specific property because it was so different than everything else that is up there. So that's kind of our story, a little bit non-traditional, but that's pretty typical for how we usually make our decisions. So, and again, it kind of falls right in line with the theme of 2020, right?
Correct. And was the property, was California Dreaming on the market? Was that a large part of them marketing that property was their success as a short-term rental?
Yes, exactly. So they actually finished building it in November of 2019. And their plan all along was that they were building to sell. So they put it on the rental market knowing, okay, this will actually strengthen, you know, their ability to sell it and in addition, get what they wanted for it. And so we went into it knowing, okay, this is a home that's already proven the concept of a short-term rental. So we had some rough numbers to work with of, you know, how many nights they had it rented at that time, what it was renting for. You know, we were able to look at the Instagram to kind of see what they had already done as a foundation for the marketing. And I would even say the property itself was actually listed over our budget of what we were wanting to spend. But when we went to go see it in person, just kind of we were actually originally going to buy the property next door. And then this one was on the market as well. And so we were like, oh, well, we may as well go take a look and see what our neighbor's house is going to be like. But when we walked in, we fell in love. And because even though it was over our budget, we knew that because of the fact that it was already on the short-term rental market and that it was already successful, that the numbers would still work for us. So that was definitely a huge part in the strategy. And then in addition, why we chose this specific property.
Katie, I have a really quick question for you. Only because I was just contacted by a friend two nights ago who was looking for some not advice, but just making sure she wasn't being crazy. But would you say when you were purchasing the property, did you, and was it marketed as a short-term rental business so that, you know, perhaps if the house was for sale, vacant, didn't have a proven business model behind it, it was this price. But because it was fully furnished, proven business model, here are the numbers. They were asking for more than other houses like it on the market. And obviously you purchased it, but is that how they listed it?
Yes. So I would say yes and no, actually, would be the answer to the question. So Broken Bow is really, this is what Broken Bow is. Like, it only has cabins that tourists stay at, really. There's only about, last time I heard, like 3,500 locals. So it's a pretty small town. And then I think there's about that many cabins as well. So it's about a cabin per local. But so yes, it was marketed as a short-term rental specifically in the listing, but really all properties up there, unless you're talking about, you know, the small number of actual residences up there, are marketed as a short-term rental. Now, I will say, because it was so different than any other cabin that we had seen in Broken Bow or that exists in Broken Bow, just the design and the structure and, you know, the lot and the development, all these different factors, because it was such a new concept, I don't think that they could have asked what they asked for it if they didn't prove the model. So that's kind of the yes piece of the question.
Sure, sure. No, interesting. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
This is interesting, listeners, because I know there's a lot of you in a similar position of Katie, of, you know, wanting to get started. How do you get started? And really, I love what you and your husband did. It's a testament. It's like, you just like, you went on this trip and you enjoyed it and was like, wait, how can we bring more of this into our lives? And then you just kind of started step by step going after it. And it's really, it's amazing how life works out like that. Like, sometimes it really is just that spark and you just follow that path inch by inch by inch. And now, you know, you're managing multiple properties. So let's talk about you. So you purchased the property. You start host, and now are you hosting it yourself from afar? Because you, like you just said, Dallas is about 3 hours from Broken Bow. Was it always the intention that you would manage the property yourself from the 3 hours away?
Yes, that was always the intention.
Okay.
There are some management companies up there who manage for owners. Like I said, it's really, you know, all the owners are really from afar, except for a small handful of locals that may have cabins. So there are other management companies up there, but I kind of knew that with my background, I have background in marketing. That's what my degree was in college. And so I kind of knew, okay, this is something that I can take on as a challenge, kind of take on as a project. I thought I would enjoy doing it. And so we kind of went into it knowing, okay, this is something that would also kind of fit in with, you know, the plan and the business model. And again, was just another piece of that puzzle, like you said, where it was like, well, we may as well try it, you know, going with my gut and kind of taking it just one step at a time. That was kind of our game plan here. So yes, that was always the plan, is that I would self-manage and at least kind of dip my toe in that and see what it was like. And I knew that others up there had done that, and that I was confident that I had the skill set that I could use to do that and hopefully be successful in that as well.
And did you have, because this is a challenge that Sarah and I hear about often, is obviously if you're 3 hours away, you're not doing the turnovers every time. Is that something that was already in place with the property, or is that something that you had to go out and secure on your own?
So that's actually a funny story. that was actually in place. And when we purchased the cabin, it was my understanding that, you know, that our cleaner, our maintenance, that type of thing would stay in place and that they kind of wanted to move forward working with us. And then the day that we closed on the property, literally I was driving from the lender's office where I had signed papers to go to dinner and wait for the loan to fund. And the cleaner called me and said, hey, so, you know, I'm going to come for the next two turns, but then after that, your new people can take over. I was like, what? So that was a little bit of a heart attack because we actually closed at the beginning of March. So it's spring break time. And we had like the next 3 weeks or so, just kind of back-to-back bookings. And of course, they're my first bookings. And so that was a fun challenge. And what had ended up happening is there was just a miscommunication. And I actually still work with that cleaner in a different form, I'll say. She kind of gives me some support. She's almost like our quality control up there. So I still work with her. She's fantastic. It all worked out. And it was just a moment of that panic and she wasn't doing anything wrong, but it was just kind of that, okay, like, you know, we're in it now. So we got to figure it out. So yes, I kind of did actually, we actually worked it out where, you know, I told her, I'm like, hey, if you can come and you can keep these next few weeks to get us through spring break, I will bonus the heck out of you. And we'll make it work. And from that point forward, it would give me some time to kind of find someone new. And we're kind of on our, you know, second set of support people. But really through that process, kind of learned how to make sure that I'm setting my expectations up front of, here's what we need. Here is my personality in a working relationship. Does that sound like it's a good fit for you? You know, kind of learning through that process to get where we are now. So it ended up being a good thing and turning out for the best because I still have the opportunity to work with the original. But yeah, that was a little bit crazy.
And are you kind of just hopping on the phone as much as possible? And that's how you're building these relationships and talking to people? Or and how much are you traveling down there and what constitutes or what, you know, what is essential to be there for in person? What can you get done over the phone that maybe our listeners wouldn't expect you could get successfully done over the phone?
Sure. Yeah. So mostly it's all over the phone, whether it's a phone call or a text message or whatever, but definitely building those relationships. I always start with a face-to-face meeting. So I will make a trip even just for that one face-to-face meeting so that I can have that connection and build that relationship from the get-go and make sure there's a human aspect, right? So being there in person for certain things is really important to me. And that was one thing I knew going into it. Self-managing at the time was I am going to need to make some trips up there, some day trips, right, where I drive up and then I'm there for just a short period of time and then drive back. Typically, I would say on like a normal month, I'm probably up there. We try to go about once a month ourselves to get away for just a couple nights even. And then I probably go like one other time a month on average. And we just are very specific. When I see them, I see them and it works out and it's great. But other than that, I'm just very specific. I take a lot of pictures of what I want things to look like, what I want it to be staged like. The cleaners and our other support staff and support people who go out there to do jobs are fantastic. They send me pictures. They keep me really in the loop. I kind of, back to that whole setting expectations thing, I am a very particular person, but I know that and I own that. And so I just, you know, I just tell them and kind of set the stage of like, I'm going to want to be super in the loop. I'm going to be really on top of it. I will be that way. And I hope that you guys can be in the same way. Right. I always, my kind of phrase that I tell them is, you know, I'm really high maintenance and I know that about myself, but I will always be nice about it. I'm never going to be the person who calls and is mad or upset or yelling or, you know, saying rude things or threatening to fire them. Like that's just not me. That's not my personality. But I am the person who, if I see something that was missed, I'm going to say something so that we can then put a plan in place to where that's not done again and we can move forward with that in place, if that makes sense. But then kind of the second part to that question is with the management company now that I'm doing, I've been up there probably about 6 times so far this month. We're only like 3/4 of the way through it. Just onboarding new properties, it just takes more in-face and you know, person-to-person meetings as we get that settled. Like I said, just to kind of set the stage, set the expectations, make sure everything is going the way it needs to be and looks the way it needs to be.
Let's talk. Let's talk about company
with being particular, girl. I feel you. I'm here for you.
Sarah's like, uh-huh.
And you have to be. You know what I mean? Like, it's so funny. We're like, we apologize for it, but truly that's where it's at. I mean, you and I both know that, Katie, you know, and that knows it too. So anyway, go ahead, Annette. Sorry, I just wanted to let Katie know she's not alone.
Give me some support. Yeah.
No, she is like, yep, check the boxes there on all the feelings.
I appreciate it. I feel ya.
Well, let's dive into this. So, okay, you're up and running. You're loving California Dreaming, I guess, because all of a sudden within, you know, a couple months, you are now like have a management company and are managing more. So not to just stop short of what you're doing with California Dreaming, but talk us through that. Like, was it so exciting? Were you loving it? Did you want more of it? How did this transpire of such a quick transition from we went on vacation, we bought a vacation house, we're running it, and now I have a management company? Like, it's just a very quick turn. And I love that, especially for our listeners. So my head is spinning. So I just need to need the story behind it, how it all worked out.
And just to complicate Annette's question too, Katie, I just want to throw this out there so you can have it like swimming around when you answer. But I know you have a background in marketing, but there's something else about this opportunity that gave you, that you had confidence to take such big leaps. Annette, I think, shared with you before we press record, we had a consultation earlier today. And it's so funny, this person has everything she needs. She's got hosting experience. She's got ideas, she's done the courses, she's done the schooling, but she lacks the confidence. So where are you getting the confidence from? And how has that driven you to take such big steps?
Sure. So yes to all of that. And then, let me see if I can break it down here. And if I miss anything, definitely let's come back to it because I want to be sure to answer all your questions. So the confidence thing, I think, is probably partially personality based. My personality is just kind of let's try it and see what happens, and feeling like, you know, if I know all the steps that need to be done and I know that, you know, I have that type of personality that matches that from like a particular standpoint, kind of what we were saying, then I'm going to try it and give it a shot. And like, what's the worst that can happen, right? If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. So that's kind of just my viewpoint on life. Have y'all ever, I feel like I can't have a conversation without talking to this. Have y'all ever heard of the Enneagram?
Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what are you, Katie?
I'm an Enneagram 7. So that probably explains a lot about my personality and just kind of being willing to try new things. Like Enneagram 7s stereotypically are very much go-getters, always wanting something new and exciting, always, you know, willing to just go out there and try it. And so I think that probably sums it up for anybody else who follows Enneagram. And that's also why I have my husband who balances me, who is like, okay, let's think through all the steps to this. But so that's kind of that's speaking to that. Also, I would say like serial entrepreneur who's just now having her first actual business, if that makes sense. So I started my first quote company when I was about 6. I started an ironing business for all my neighbors down the street. I like made flyers. I set my prices, I negotiated, I had packages where I like, you know, gave them benefits for certain things. So to say this is my first business might not be true. To say it's my first real business is definitely accurate. So I think that's kind of where the confidence and personality comes from. And then to speak to how this all happened. So really, Annette, what you were saying, where you were like, you know, it's kind of crazy how life works out and you kind of just take a leap and take it one step at a time and see what happens and see what comes your way. That's definitely the vibe of all of this. I had been loving this. We had been doing really well. We realized what a great investment it was for us. I realized how much I liked it. We started talking about the possibilities of owning more properties ourselves, more short-term rentals ourselves. And that kind of happened at the same time that all of the going back to school conversations were happening across the country just with coronavirus. So I was actually a fifth grade teacher, and I have some underlying health concerns that just made me feel really anxious about going back to school this year and kind of all the ins and outs of that and not really knowing what the exact precautions were and what the year would look like. And so at that time, I was like, oh my gosh, I have no plan here. But my gut is really telling me that I need to take a step back from teaching and that it's not the right option for me this year. That was just, you know, it was eating me alive for weeks, trying to think about it. And then I finally felt at peace with it. And I just knew, and I'm really big about always following my gut, even if it doesn't make sense to me or anyone else, and just kind of knowing that that's going to lead me down the right path eventually. And so I kind of took that leap of faith of stepping back, which was really difficult. And then that next weekend, I actually went and drove to Broken Bow. And while I was there, was talking to the developer of our, or the owner of our development, whose cabin is next door. And they're actually the ones who built California Dreaming. So if you followed us on Instagram before we purchased it, that's who was running it. But anyway, I'm talking to him, and he didn't even know that I had just resigned from my teaching job on Friday. It's Sunday. And he says, you know, we've really had a lot of owners of land. So our development's newer and it's really just now starting to be fully built out or even starting to be built out. And he said, I've had a lot of people who are planning to start building soon express interest in, hey, do you know someone who would, you know, be a great fit for property management? And he even said, you know, they had seen your stuff and mentioned that they would love to have you do it, but that you were a teacher and you were really only doing your own. And so, you know, he was like, but if that's ever an option for you or ever something you want to think about, you know, you have our full support and we'd love to, you know, tell people about you. And obviously it's not directly tied to the development, but just knowing that we're aligned on our goals overall for what the properties are going to be like and how they're run. So I told him, I said, oh my gosh, I actually quit my job on Friday. And so I was like, this is perfect timing. That's definitely, you know, I think that might be a really good fit. Let me think about it and do some, you know, brainstorming and just conceptualizing to see what that would look like and see what, you know, we could build. And so, yeah, that's kind of what spurred it on. And he and I had some good brainstorming sessions together just to make sure we were on the same page for, you know, how the development would be positioned. So I only managed for properties in the development, things like that. So, yeah, that's a lot of rambling and a long story to say that's how I got here. But really, it was just a string of following my gut and kind of letting it happen and develop, which I think is, you know, the best way to kind of have things like that begin. So I'm very thankful for that.
It's a common story. Honestly, a lot of people that are in our courses or just email us from the show and wanting to, you know, start to host more properties. Sarah and I always just let them know, like, the more you talk about it and you're just good at what you do, people will start coming to you. So there's, you know, we haven't ever really talked to anybody that's like, yep, I like graduated with a degree in hospitality management and then I started my company. It's never that story. It's right. always right. started here and then it just kind of snowballed into something much bigger, which yeah. we're excited for you because it sounds like that is an amazing relationship to have with the builder who's going to have that direct contact with the people building the homes. And then you're just such a great referral there to, yes. to send
yeah,
over.
Yeah, I'm very, very thankful for that. Yes, very thankful for that.
But how are you differentiating yourself in Broken Bow since it's obviously there's probably a lot of management companies. And since you are newer, what does make you different? How do you differentiate there?
Sure. So my whole entire goal going into it and what I'm trying to make sure stays at the forefront of everything is quality over quantity. So because there are, you know, fewer locals and there are so many short-term rentals in Broken Bow in that small little town, things grow really quickly there because there's such a need for any resource really, whether it's property management or a plumber or a builder, you know, whatever it may be. And so my whole goal with it was I want to put forward a product that is extremely high-end, extremely detailed, extremely, you know, just different than the rest of the things that are there. So like I've mentioned, our cabin is much more modern. It's much more, the design is very unique compared to the typical cabin-y feel that you get up there. And there are some absolutely gorgeous cabins in the area, but it's just a different, angle on it, I guess you could say. And so I really wanted to carry that, those high standards over to other properties that I manage. And so that was my biggest goal for more reason than one. Number one, just because I think that's the best way to do it. I think that's the right thing to do. We had had so many guests come to our property who said, oh my gosh, this is so different than anywhere I've ever stayed. It's super clean. The location is unique. It's really just every little detail has been thought of and we can tell, right? We can tell that that thought has been put into it. So I know Sarah feels me on that of wanting to, you know, wanting to focus on that and keep that a standard across all of our properties and make sure they're all like that so that people know, okay, the high level of essentially service for me and then the property itself is what you're going, is what you're accustomed to as a guest once you stay there at one of our properties one time. Well, now you know you can go to any property in the collection and have that same exact experience. And then as well, I think the marketing also is something that sets me apart. I think the first, someone could come and tell me I'm not, but I think we were the first, or if not one of the first, to consistently use social media to get people to our properties, use influencers, do different things to kind of draw attention to our property. So that is one angle that I use to try to keep that cost of marketing down for the owners and then also get as much return as we can out of that. And then, the communication piece as well. I think that kind of goes along with having that marketing mind. And I think it even ties into having different audiences as a teacher, right? I have to talk to the kids. I have to talk to the parents. I have to talk to my administration. It's kind of some different channels of communication, which is something that's actually unique about the short-term rental industry is that we do have, you know, we have our contractors we work with, we have our owners that we work with, and then we have our guests who we work with, and it's kind of a different mindset for each one. But I try to kind of almost be like a concierge for the guests who are visiting. And that really, I think, sets us apart, just that there's that personal, you know, tie into it. I give them all the information, set all the expectations, and then check in with them while they're there, before they get there, make sure that if they need any little thing, they can text me, they can call me, whatever. So again, that kind of goes back to being able to do that with the quality over quantity, right? Of just making sure that we're growing at a pace that accommodates that.
Yeah, I want to unpack this a little bit, Katie, because I actually just want to, if it's cool, we're just going to have a little mastermind, you and me.
I love it.
yes. No, because that is the same thing that we're doing here in our own market, which is, and here's the deal, listeners, like you may not know yet what your brand standards are, and that's okay. You'll get there, but you just have to realize what you're not willing to negotiate on. Like Katie said, she's not willing to negotiate on looking like the rest of her competition or acting like, right? And so, like you said, the design is different. You highly leverage social media. So Katie, I'm sure you're attracting a lot of people to wanting to use you and your services. Share with our listeners the power of saying no and how you balance that, like knowing there's this property, either the property doesn't meet your brand standards or the owner isn't, while they think they understand what you offer, they don't quite get it. And so you know it's just not going to be a good fit. Talk us through all of that.
I think the first thing is I am not afraid to say no, which has taken many years of practice. I still hate it. I don't like it. But I think that has to be done in order to maintain those standards. So I have not had to say no yet to a property owner. So like I said, the development that California Dreaming's in, where the other cabins that I'm managing are in as well. So I've chosen to only manage properties in our development because that's where I have those strong relationships of, you know, the locals who are close by, who are our support system there. And then just knowing, you know, the standard of the development itself, where it's, you know, larger lots, more space, more privacy, that type of thing that's just different than other areas in Broken Bow. So I guess now that I say that, I have actually had to say no to other owners in Broken Bow who have come to me and been like, well, could you just do our property in this other neighborhood just for us, right? Could mm-hmm. we be an exception? Or, well, we own property or we're going to own property in Woodland Hills, our development, but I also have these other cabins. Since we're going to have property in Woodland Hills, could you also just do the other ones too, right? That type of thing where I have to say, no, that's, you know, I'm not making exceptions on that. It's really just going to be for Woodland Hills. And that's hard to do because I'm ultimately risking the business for their cabin that is in Woodland Hills, right? Because why would they want more than one property manager, right? So just kind of going along with that.
It's tough to decide like what you're not willing to negotiate on. And yeah. Then, okay, that knowing it's one step, that's step one. And then being faced with the option to break your own rules and having the courage or the gumption to say no, which you already touched on, you know, that you're kind of turning away business, but it's just, at the end of the day, it's not business that you want or will take you away from the business you're trying or that you are building and really strengthening. And you're niching down. You've got this really narrow focus, which mm-hmm. you keep doing that, Katie. And I mean, we can already see it. You're killing it. So you know what I mean? So thank I just you. Wanted our listeners to know that it's okay to quote unquote turn away business if it's not the right business.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, my personal theory with that is I might be turning away the business right now where while I'm still, you know, somewhat small, it's really enticing, right? Because it's the money, it's the, oh, it's going to look good if I grow and have more cabins to offer right off the bat. But I truly believe that ultimately, as my business continues to grow and down the line, it would actually have the opposite effect, right? Where the returns are going to come in the future because of the really pinpointed strategy and niche that I'm trying to create here. So I really do think it's going to happen over time, right? It's going to naturally grow. It's going to do all these things that I want it to do, but staying true to my, true to my gut once again, and true to what I know will be best for the business in the long run, will end up, you know, earning us more money, having a bigger business, more successful, those types of things. Right. And so it will be worth it. It's just a matter of how that plays out and what timeline that's on. Now, that being said, I've also told the other owners that I'm managing for, you know, if there comes a property that even though it's brand new that's built in Woodland Hills, and the owner wants me to manage, and I don't feel like they have the same strategy of, you know, putting a really high-end product forward and, you know, not having nice linens, not having nicer things to stock the kitchen, whatever it may be, or even the design, right? If it's just if it was built on a super tight budget only for the investment and not necessarily the experience, then I will say no, right? And I feel like I owe that to my other owners as well to say, okay, this is the brand I'm presenting you, and this is the brand I'm explaining to you, and you are putting your trust in me to manage your property and see that brand through, right? And so I owe that to those other owners as well who I'm managing properties for, to turn away a property in the future, even if it is in Woodland Hills, if that's what needs to be done.
Katie, I mean, that is all that you could, you're going to have something, you have something really special, and it's just going to continue to become special and stand out. If it's not, hey, Sarah Nanette, how do you get started? The next number one question we get from listeners, so that's why I ask a lot of our guests, which is, hey, Sarah Nanette, how do you not get burnt out by always being available? So what do you say to that, Katie? I mean, you know, we need to be there for our guests, whether it's for a late check-in or they can't figure something out and they're waiting with bated breath for us to give them an answer. Someone's got to be there to answer the question. So how do you avoid burnout?
I think I'm still figuring that one out. Most of the time, I just enjoy what I do. And so that burnout feeling isn't there. But I'm going to be honest, I do have my days, right? Actually, these past couple days, I felt a little bit burned out. We've got new properties that we're onboarding. And it just seems like, you know, if I need a maintenance person for one thing, then all the other cabins need it for something else. It just kind of comes in clusters. And so I think, yes, being available all the time is super important. But I also think that, you know, even right now as a really small company, having someone who I can say, okay, you know, I need to check out here. I need to whatever it may be. Like I was feeling burned out yesterday. So I was like, I'm going to go get a massage, right? I need this for myself. I need this for my mental health. I'm going to go do this. But then at that time, having someone to say, okay, I need you to watch my phone while I'm there. And if something urgent comes in, I need you to handle it. Or, you know, even in my mind, planning down the road of this upcoming busy season, having an employee who might even just be part-time, right? Might even just be on an as-needed basis. But just to say, you know, I need your help to help me monitor my phone, monitor an email or a text that comes in if there's something urgent that happens while I am caring for myself. So I think just kind of setting those boundaries and really putting check-ins in place for yourself, right? Where you're like, how am I doing? How am I feeling about things? Am I feeling positive about them? Am I feeling like, okay, this is all just part of the growing process? Or am I feeling like, oh my gosh, everything's going wrong. What am I even doing? You know, those are two different mental states for me. And so checking in to make sure that I'm doing what I need to be doing for me. And then also knowing now, okay, who's my support system now for if I need to take a minute and go on a walk, go do whatever and leave my phone, or, you know, planning for the future, planning for this upcoming busy season, spring, summer, where I'm saying, okay, what system am I going to put in place then so that I can still maintain this process and still take care of myself and do what's best for my business once things do get really busy and I do need to be there every single second available.
Right. Well, here's the thing. We're all doing our dream jobs, or we're tuning into this podcast so that we can take that next step towards our dream. Not even a job. It's like this opportunity. It's this career.
Yes.
And but I don't care what you do, listeners, in terms of how you exchange energy and make money, there's always going to be something that's going to challenge you. It's just whether or not the reward is worth, you know, those quote unquote hardships, those challenges. And like Katie said, I think Katie, what you're thinking about here is just getting creative. Like there are ways to solve problems. And if there weren't, I forget, I was listening to a podcast and I forget who said this, but it was so brilliant. It was like, if there weren't problems that we needed to solve, everyone would do the thing that we're having a problem with. And so therefore we couldn't make money doing it, right? It's because we can creatively solve those problems that we're faced with that gives us the opportunity to do the thing that we love. So you've really got to look at these problems as challenges and get excited about how you can solve it creatively. And if you can solve it the most creatively, sometimes that can be a whole other stream of revenue for you because you could teach others how you do it as well. So thanks, Katie, for sharing that with our listener. I think it's important to hear that, like, I get burnt out sometimes, but it's cool because I love what I'm doing.
For sure. And I mean, I try to think of it like there's always something where it's going to bring you back, right? It's going to bring you back to that passion and that positivity, right? So you take care of yourself in the moment and you give yourself that break. Or like I said, you go get your massage. And then like today, I wake up and I'm like, oh my gosh, how amazing is this opportunity to be on a podcast and talk to other people who have the same passion that I do, right? So I think if you can get yourself through those, you know, rough burnout feeling times with the things that you know, kind of, you know, manage your stress or manage the overwhelmingness of it, then there's always going to be something, if it is your passion, to get you right back, right? It's going to be a really positive guest interaction or a really great business opportunity or a really great conversation with someone who gets it, right? So if you can just get yourself through to that next thing. And I think that's like what you said, it makes a difference when what you're doing is something that you're passionate about. As cheesy as that sounds, it really does.
Not cheesy at all. But I think it's exactly what you just said. It's kind of like it is the roller coaster ride, and you'll have those peaks and valleys. And when you're down at the bottom, something, like you said, something wonderful will happen. So no worries. But I guess just to kind of tie a bow on this, because I know that our listeners are so much value with someone like yourself. What for you, though, has been that most valuable lesson that you've learned while establishing this new company? What can you help our listeners with and us?
Oh my goodness. That's a big question. What is the most valuable thing that I've learned?
Mm-hmm.
I think the most valuable thing that I've learned is that it's not about proving anything to other people. So what I mean by that is I know what my skills are. I know what I'm bringing to the table. I know what the Cabin Collection is offering and why it's different and what our goal is, what our plan is, what it's going to do and how it's going to kind of change the game in Broken Bow. I think when I get on social media and look at what other people are doing, whether it's short-term rental hosts or management companies in Broken Bow or anywhere else for that matter, we start comparing. I keep saying we, like that makes it easier to say, but no, I start comparing. And I start feeling like, well, gosh, like I really need to get out there and like prove myself and tell everybody, like, here are all the reasons why I'm better. And that's never been my approach to business. So I think just kind of reminding myself, hey, if I'm authentic, if I'm doing what I know is right and I'm doing what I know works, then that proves itself. And everyone else can still have a super successful business and they can have their own strategy and they can do it however they want to. But if I know that I'm true to, you know, kind of my business morals per se, and I'm doing things in an authentic way, then that speaks for itself. And that's really what's going to make the difference in the long run.
You nailed that one, right, Sarah?
Thanks.
No, you did. Because a lot of us do that too. We look at the next person and the next person. And I think that's why so many people lack the confidence to just do it in their own way. We want to see how other people did it. And while teachers and listening to podcasts are super important, if we didn't have those trailblazers just doing it their own way and like trying something new and getting creative, we wouldn't have a lot of the amazing creations that we have. So I think that's, Katie, that piece of advice plays into so many aspects of entrepreneurship and owning your own business and all that kind of good stuff. So
Yeah, it's hard to feel confident. Oh, you're so sweet. No, I was just going to say, it's hard to feel confident all the time when you are an entrepreneur, a small business owner, or even a large business owner, I'm assuming. And so just having those like core values to bring me back, you know, because I don't always have that either. So it's really, that's what's kind of gotten me through. But
I agree. All right, Katie, if our listeners wanted to find out more about you or connect with you in some way, where should they do that?
The best place to do that is on Instagram at @the_cabin_collection.
And we'll make sure to obviously put that in the show notes for everyone. So,
awesome.
But yeah, Katie, thank you for your time today. And I'm excited for you. That our listeners got to hear your story and share on like your journey in the, just a short, you know, less than a year. So we're excited to see you grow. And obviously we say this to everybody, but we can't wait to come and stay at one of your properties sometime soon.
Yes, I would love that. I would love that. And thank you guys so much for having me. It really means a lot. And I'm just excited to be connected to you guys and excited to connect to some other hosts as well through this.
Yeah. It's all about that community. Hosting can be super rewarding, but sometimes you're just so in it on your own. You're like, is there anyone else who understands my obsession with, you know, fluffing this pillow 7 times? You found your peeps, Katie. We're right here.
Yes. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, listeners, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant. And together we are. Thanks for visiting.
We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.